are on our series called Wisdom. That wisdom is a whole lot more than like what college you went to. Wisdom is so much deeper than when you know like I after C except before D, right? Something like that, right? When you know those real things. That was a joke, by the way. So just not that funny. Wisdom is just so much more. And maybe this might help you think of what wisdom is. Let's say you're like the big important captain on the big important ship. And you know, everyone knows you're the big important captain when you're on the big important ship. And you're walking through as a big important captain, you're pointing at people, because that's what captains do. They're walking by, hey, I'm a captain, look at this, all right? And you have to like make the decisions. And you make decisions during the day for show. But at night, you make decisions for dough. Right? That's all captains know that for sure. It's middle of the night and the big waves are happening and you're on the big important ship. You look off in the distance, there's a light coming and you look at it and you're like, oh, look, another not as important ship with probably a less important captain on that ship. So you grab the radio, right? And you get on, you're like, hello there, ship. This is the big important ship talking. I hope you're doing well today. I just let you know that we are not going to move because we're a big important ship and a big important captain. Thank you. Over and out, right? And you do like the radio drop instead of the mic drop. And you wait and you look for that light just to slightly begin to turn. It doesn't. So you grab it one more time like, hey, how you doing, little important ship? This is a big important ship. One more time. We'd love to have you move. Appreciate it. Over and out, right? And you do this like two or three more times, the ship's not moving. Now, big important captain of the big important ship is getting big important angry, right? So he grabs it one more time. He says, listen here, you don't know who I am. I'm clearly the important one here. You got to move right away. And as he lets go, the other communication device happens, and he comes back and he hears on the radio and goes, hey, we're happy you're a big important ship on a big, important captain. This is the bigger and more important lighthouse. You're going to have to move, right? See, wisdom is being able to see things for what they really are. Wisdom is so much more than just your intellect. It's so much more than your grammar. It's being able to see things in the true light, things that have existed that are true for all time. And as we go through life, you might think, no, this is how we always do things. Of course I know what this looks like. I've been here before. I am a grown woman. I'm a grown man, all right? You ever done that before? Like you're trying to like figure out how to unlock the door to your house. Like, I know how to do this, right? When you can see the lies for what they really are, when you can see your anger for what it really is, when you can see the things that bring anxiety in your life for what they really are, you can take a step back and be able to observe it and then be able to make a decision, execute something with like wisdom. That is incredibly life-giving. Because it's easy to get stuck in this rut of, no, I know I'm the smartest woman in the room. I'm the smartest man in the room. I know how to do this. Wisdom might say, what if you got curious? And last week we talked about, in Proverbs 8, it talks about how wisdom is this woman and how she calls out from the city gates. And she says, I've been around since like before even the universe was created. That I'm like baked into all of creation. Wisdom is there if you're willing to see it and you're willing to hear it. And we're talking today about like, what if it looked like giving of your best? Because it gives you like all these like categories. Last week we talked about what it means to be a fool. And today we're going to be talking a little bit of what it looks like to be like good. And they always oppose each other. There's like the wise and the foolish, the good and the evil. And I'd encourage you to read through Proverbs as we go through this series. Read through the Psalms. But if you read through the Proverbs, it gives you a bunch of these things to do and things not to do. And you can look at Proverbs just as a glance, and you can make a list of all the things not to do. And you're like, hey, that's wise. Just don't do a bunch of stuff. Like, hey, don't like sleep with a prostitute. All right, check. I'm pretty wise so far, right? It's like, hey, don't lure people in the alleys to kill them. Oh, great, check. So far, I'm pretty wise, right? You really could take this list of things and say, okay, now I'm wise because of things I don't do. The author of like the wisdom literature it's so much more bigger than just what to do and what not to do. Really, if you looked at all of it collectively, what it's trying to tell you is what you do matters. What you think matters. It talks about in Proverbs how it's more than just our wisdom is more than just our brain. It talks about how wisdom will enter our heart and knowledge will enter our soul. Like, but biblical wisdom impacts everything you do in your life. Absolutely everything. And what it leads to is joy. So what it's saying of what to do and what not to do is this, is you have this beautiful gift. You have this amazing energy. And you alone, get to decide what you invest in. You're like the big important banker, right? At the big important bank. And you get to decide, where does the best of myself get deposited? Because what the author of the wisdom literature is telling you is if you want a good and beautiful life, there's this ancient wisdom that is telling you, here's how you invest. Here's how you give of your best. Of not just your money, that's important, but of like your intellect, of your word, of your body, of your sexuality, of like your emotions, of your spirit, of your house, of your car, of when you're coaching a baseball game, of when you're interacting with your neighbors, when you're thinking about your enemy. It's saying all of it, you get to decide how you give of your best. And we're going to be reading out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 through 31. If you have a Bible here, or if you don't have one, or you don't own one, we have some on the back table. You're welcome to take those home with you. And the reason we keep highlighting the Bible and how you can like open up and read along is that everything we do here at Vineyard is based off the Bible. We're never going to be a church that just comes up with a couple good ideas and throw a Bible verse in there here and there. Like, we believe the Bible is the foundation of wisdom. That God gave us this book more than just a couple stories about old guys on boats with a couple animals, right? Like, it's meant to be life-giving. It can bring wisdom. So if you don't have one, we encourage you to steal one on the way out. So Proverbs 3, verse 27 says this. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow, I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Do not plan harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. Let me pray. So Jesus, I ask for wisdom. I ask that we'd be able to see this good and beautiful truth that points to a life like brimming with joy. And I pray for us, people in this room, to my friends listening to on the podcast, where we feel like what we're giving our life to just isn't enough. It leads to stress, leads to pain, leads to anxiety. And I ask God, you help us be able to see you, to see the truth, and where we can give the best of ourselves to something life-giving, something that is creating a community of hope. And we love you. Amen. So what the author is saying here is do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to act. You have this ability, you have this power to give something beautiful, and your neighbor like is already expecting it, and when they show up and they're saying, hey, do you have that thing that you have for me? And you might say, well, maybe, right? Even though you're, like, you're holding it behind your back. The author's saying, why withhold? Why wouldn't, if you can actually give something beautiful, if you have it in your ability to bless or to deliver on something you've already promised, to make an impact in life, why wait? But if you think about it, we do this all the time, right? And these aren't bad. Sometimes I might say something, you're like, oh man, I'm a horrible human being because I don't want to go to the gym, right? I'm not saying that, right? Like, but think about it. It's January and you're like, hey, I'm going to get pumped up, right? I'm going to get big and I'm going to like get slim, get big, get slim. It's like somehow those like fit together, right? And you're like, yeah, this is the day I'm going to run 27 miles. I'm going to lift 1,000 pounds and I'm going to look in the mirror a lot and do a lot of this, right? And you think, okay, I'm going to wake up. This is me at least. I'm going to wake up at 5:30. I'm going to the gym for like 4 hours. And you're like, it's like a good idea. And you wake up at like the alarm goes off at 5:15. You're like, who in the world set my alarm for this early? And you turn it off, right? Why do you delay going to the gym, right? What about like, you're like, hey, I'm gonna go volunteer at my kid's school. This is the year I'm finally gonna do it, and I'm gonna learn my kid's friends' names, right? And you're like, you're about to make that phone call and say, hey, sign me up, and you're like, I'll just do that with my next kid, all right? And you delay that. Or it might be, hey, I'm gonna get involved in a small group. And guys, I'm friends with reality. The idea of going to a small group on another night, going to a stranger's house that you have no idea, you don't, that can feel intimidating. And so when you think, well, hey, I'm going to go to a small group. I really want to like have like a circle of friends. And then you're like thinking about setting, you're like, but I'll do it when my schedule is clear, which is never, right? We have these great ideas. We have this ability to invest in something. It might be, hey, I'm going to start paying off that debt as soon as the next vacation, right? As soon as the next tax return. Not this tax return. I'm talking about the tax return in like 2040, all right? That's when I start collecting Social Security, that's how I'm going to pay off my debt, right? And we delay pain, or we delay even sometimes something beautiful because we have to act on it now. And what the author is saying, you can move from a great idea. Wisdom is going from something that's just in your head to actually moving it into your hands, into your feet, onto your calendar, into your finances, into your home, into actually loving your neighbor. And we are like excellent at just saying, well, let's just wait. And sometimes those reasons are valid. Sometimes those are incredibly wise. But I think for a lot of us, we're afraid of pulling the trigger because of the unknown. But what the author is saying is like, why wait when we can actually do it? We can do it now. And it's like this, there's these tides. You guys ever been in the ocean before? Right? Anyone to the ocean? You're swimming in the ocean. Like, my wife and I were in Mexico a couple years ago, and like, we're running out pretending to body slams. You like, all of a sudden become like, my wife is always mature and beautiful, right? When I get into the ocean, it's like I'm in junior high all over again. I'm like, you know, Hulk Hogan, like body slamming. Well, that's not a body slam, body slamming, right? And you're jumping the waves, and you're giggling, you're laughing, and you turn around, you're like, oh, okay, all my stuff. And I did the trick of putting like my wallet in the shoe. No one will ever think about that, right? Like, oh, I'll put it way down in there. So I'll wrap my towel around it. So, and you look at your stuff, and it's like right there, and you jump in the water for a little bit, and it feels like 20 minutes, maybe it's like 40 minutes, and you turn around, and all of a sudden, your stuff is like way over there, and you're like, hey, who picked up my stuff? I hope they didn't look in the shoe, right? And you don't realize that over time, just a little bit by each wave, it's just pulling you out a little bit further and pushing you down a little bit further. And after a little bit, you realize, oh, I'm not where I intended to be. That was not on purpose. And what the author of the wisdom tradition is saying is, like, that is not by accident. You can move in a cultural tide. You can move in a rhythm that you did not plan on, but you participated in one way or the other. The wisdom is, are you alive to the reality around you? Are you aware of where your energy is going? Are you aware of what you're giving your life to? Because he's saying, if you want to like have a good and beautiful life, you, no one else, gets to dictate that. And it's easy to like put it on other people, right? It's like, oh, because my mom or my dad did do or didn't do, and this is why I am here today. Oh, if my boss would have just given me that raise, if I would have got this job, if I could have gotten to this program, I could have gotten to that college, if my kids would have listened to me like this, if my neighbors would have done that, if my friends would have invited me to this, then what? I would be better, or I wouldn't be as worse as I am now? We can live in this world of shifting blame. Now, here's what I'm not saying. There's horrible things that this world does to each other. Horrible. In this room. Like, if we just had to write on a whiteboard, and we'll never do this, mind, if you're new here, this is not a normal thing, right? You're like, what kind of church is this? Like, if you had to come up and write on a whiteboard of, like, the horrible things that you've done, or the horrible things been done to you, there's absolute nightmarish, hellish experiences that you've walked through. And those impact you, those change you. But what the author is saying, what the Bible is saying, is wisdom is saying, but you still get to decide what to do with it. You get to decide what to do with it. where you give your energy, where you give your love, where you look to for value, where you look to for healing, no one else gets to dictate that. No one gets to move the needle of your value and worth inside. All these external things can happen, and horrible things and beautiful things, but even then, you get to be the steward of your energy. You get to be like the investor of what gets your best. And you ever notice that, like, there's things that you can give your life to, you can give your time to, you can give your energy to, that just are never enough? You been there before? Where it just, you give more, you give more, you give more, you give more, and at the end of the day, you just still feel empty. You feel exhausted. Nikki and I used to live what we now lovingly call the Little Red House in Duluth. And this Little Red House is like where we raised all our babies in. And the house we call little because it was like 800, 900 square feet. And it was like kitchen, table, living room. We're all like, you know, you could like, you know, see it. You could like breathe and hit the back of the kitchen, right? It was really small. And it was on this open field and it was beautiful. But in the winter, for like 7 years, January through March, I'd sit on the end of my couch. I can still like feel it. And there'd just be a small little draft. Right? And it'd be like 9 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden, Nick, you would know what time it is, because at 9 o'clock, I'd like start looking around, I'm like, where is that coming from? And I put my hand out, and it was like a madman, and my hand would go up and down, trying to like, is the draft here? No, is it here? Is it here? And I'd go back down, and I'd get up and start walking around, like following this little like jet stream of cold air. I'm like, where is it coming from? And I plastic the windows. I shoved insulation under my cabinets. I went outside to the corners of my house, right, where the siding would come, and I started shoving insulation underneath the siding, thinking, oh, that's where all the cold air is coming, you know, through this one little part. You know, there's insulation everywhere in my house. But for some reason, there was just this small little draft, and it drove me bonkers. I just couldn't, it's okay, God's enough for me, I'm enough for him. No, in that moment, it's like, nothing is enough, right? And Nikki, she'd just say, Chris, just settle down. It's okay, it is not okay, right? And what can happen, maybe you have a friendship. You have a friendship that you just keep pouring more and more and more into. And I could have just kept turning up the heat more and more and more in my house. And no matter what, that draft was still going to come. And that heat would just go outside. And I could pump it all day long, and it still would not be enough. And I'm spending more money and more resources in something that is not going to hold it. And you have a friendship where you just give more and more. You're like, no, I'll just keep trying harder. I'll answer the phone more. I'll run over the house more. I'll watch their kids more. I'll help fix their car more. And after a while, you get at the end of the day or the end of the year, and you're reflecting on that friendship, and you're like, this is killing me. This doesn't feel good. This isn't life-giving. Maybe you have a sibling like that. Maybe you have a boss or an employee where it's never enough. You just keep dumping more and more of the best of yourself, of the energy, and at the end of it, it's just, it's gone. That's hard. But like the Minnesota nice in us is saying, no, you commit for the next 50 years of your life to suffer, and just no matter what, you're going to do this. And what wisdom is saying is, can you step back and see what that relationship what it really is? Can you see like that you pursuing this career, you pursuing this dream, you pursuing like this addiction or this habit or this spending habit? You keep thinking, no, this is going to be the time. What if we could see it for what it really is? That the way you spend your energy at the end of the day is not bearing good fruit. Because how are you supposed to know? Because these things don't happen by accident. Coming into a good and beautiful life doesn't happen by accident. In Proverbs 7, it talks about that there is this young man, and he's walking down the streets. And he's walking down the streets, and the author says, I look down at this youth, and I see someone who lacks sense. They have no sense. which is most teenage boys, all right? That's exactly what he's talking about, right? It's true, right? It's like the teenage boy is just like kind of walking around, and he keeps walking by this corner, back and forth this corner, where this beautiful woman lives. And finally, this woman walks out, and she sees this young man, and she steps up, and she says, "I recently got married, and all the spoils are upstairs. And my husband, he's taken all of his treasure, he's taken his coin purse, and he's gone till the next full moon. Why don't you come upstairs?" And it says that we will drink in love. We'll be intoxicated with love all the way through morning. You can fill in the blank, right? And it's almost like, who's going to know? Who's going to know? And the author is instructing his son, Proverbs, he's writing to his son saying, be aware, for this woman lives on every corner. But this kid, he didn't get there by accident. He said he lacked sense. He was not alive to the reality. He was not aware of the reality. It's not like you can like come home to your wife and say, honey, funniest thing happened, all right? Walking down the street, and I tripped. I woke up in someone else's bed. It's not my fault, right? It's not my fault that they proposed that to me. It's not my fault that I answered that phone. It's not my fault that I went to that website. It's not my fault that I decided to have a couple 13, 14 that night. See, we'd like to shift the blame. What the Bible is saying, you get to decide. The first step is, are you even aware of what you're giving your life to? Are you aware of what you're giving your best to? Like, think about it. When you're with your friends or you're with your family, whoever, like, your circle is, what's the dominant, like, topic of conversation? What's the thing that keeps coming back over and over and over again? Is it about how you are chasing your dreams? Is it about how you are, like, accomplishing these goals, about how you're raising your kids or how you're investing in your friendships and something beautiful, how you're trying to grow as a Jesus-looking woman or a Jesus-looking man? Have you ever had those friendships where you feel like you just talk about the same thing over and over and over and over again? About that couple that hurt you? About that boss you feel like just wounded you? And instead of turning from something like, because you need a place where you can vent, where you can process, and you say, is this good? Is this healthy? But it's like for the last 6 months, all it has turned is how dumb or stupid or wrong they are and how right you are. And you need like that huddle of people saying, yeah, you're the best, and they're the worst. And at some point, it might turn into something that's not life-giving. When you walk away, and you just feel gross. Like, when you look at, like, online at your bank statements, what gets the most of your money? When you look at your calendar, what gets the most of your time? When you're about to hit your head is hit the pillow, what gets your brain space? What is that thing that's going through your head over and over and over and over again? What the author is saying is it's not by accident. Can you take a step back and actually take account and evaluate where your energy is going to? But then how are you supposed to know what's good? How are you supposed to know what's life-giving? Ah, the Bible has something to say about that. In Galatians, I said that really funny. Oh, hey. That was a creepy hey. All right. Says this, Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The biblical truth is this. Whatever you decide to invest in, at some point there will be fruit. You invest in that job. You invest in that spending. You invest in thinking about or daydreaming about that person. You start fantasizing about moving to somewhere else, about shutting that person out. You can do that, but at some point, what's going to come out of that ground, you will find out, is it life-giving or is it not? Is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? Does it lead you to be a kingdom person, a Jesus-looking person, or is it leading you to be even more selfish? Complain even more. Withdraw from community even more. Like, we don't have to make this up. We don't have to like run around saying, is this working or not? Like, the Bible gives us tools, community, something like this, small group, where you can talk about, I feel like the way that I'm like raising my son, the things I'm doing in our marriage, the things I'm doing with my friends, we will talk out, does this seem good? Does this seem healthy? I've had so many conversations of my friends come to me and say, hey, Chris, I see something in your life. I think you could be a better husband. I think you could be a little bit healthier than you are right now. We can do that in that context of community. But if you don't take the time to at least evaluate, if you don't take the time to assess, am I moving towards where God wants me to go or not? But the Bible is saying you get caught in that tide. And wisdom, like we talked about last week, it says that wisdom is a woman who calls out. And if you don't listen to wisdom, if you don't see the ancient truth that's always been there, it says that she mocks you, that there will be disdain. There will be consequences for what you give your life to. So what gets the most of your energy? Why wait until tomorrow? Why wait until tomorrow when you have the power to act? I had a friend who loves writing and making music, and we were talking about this recently, and he said, you know, I came to this realization that I talk a lot about making music. I talk a ton about what I'm going to do, but I actually haven't written any music. I've had conversations with like 10 different people about all these things I'm going to do, but I actually have nothing, no shows booked. And he came to that point, he's like, I'm going to stop talking about it. Why waste my energy in talking about it? I'm just going to start doing it. See, even just by talking about something over and over and over again, you're wasting your energy. You're spending your energy when you could spend that time doing beautiful things. So I call this eye rolls and politicians. Eye rolls and politicians. Because two places we spend a lot of our energy. Two places. The first one is in the eye rolls, where we can spend a lot of energy. We can pump the heat into this room of complaining. Right? You ever had that friend where all they do is complain? All they do is complain about all the things that the other people are doing. And they notice everything that everyone else is doing or not doing. Of like, they never invite me to that party, right? How about this one? This is common. I'm going to wrap up my whole message with the counterpart to this, but like, how come no one calls me? I always do the calling for friends. I always set the party up. I always set up the breakfast date. I always set up our date for our marriage. I always. And you can live in this place of complaining. And it's okay to feel what you feel, but when you just live in that place of just whining or complaining, gossiping, you could spend, and we spend a ton of time online doing that. So the other way we spend a lot of our energy recently, this is just an observation, is when it comes to politics. Now, I'm a big fan of politics, right? I'm a big fan, but think of all the resources that have been given to in your own emotional life. Think about all the things on Twitter or Facebook that have hooked your heart when it comes to politics, that have like ruined your day, that have stopped your actual job for an hour of you thinking about, I'm going to have the wittiest comment back, right? Have you ever been like following on Facebook, you know, it says like 175 more responses or comments, and you click it and you go down this rabbit hole of people you'll never meet in your life, but all of a sudden you realize that you just can't stand them. You're like, I'm never inviting them to my birthday party, right? And they live like in Nevada, right? You've been there before? Think of the emotional energy that you have just invested into that. Now, why do we care about politics? Because of agendas, of how they vote, of what they stand for, the platforms they stand on. Those are important. Those are good. But here's something that I've just observed, is that we want our politicians, the things that we're passionate about, we'll vote them in, we'll spend a ton of money, we'll spend energy, we'll get with people who think like we think, and we'll get in a circle and say, you know, right we are, yeah, we're right, you're right, and you're right, and I'm right, and we're all right, and look how wrong they are, and they're wrong, they're all wrong, but we're right, right? And we surround ourselves with people who think like us, who vote like us, who believe like us, and then we create an us versus them, and then each group will mock each other and say, oh, look how stupid you are, right? And ha, 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 you're stupid. And then they'll turn around and say, oh, little do you know, you're stupid, and ha, ha, you're stupid. And we will try convincing each other or converting each other to different parties, to different platforms. Well, what about this? Well, I have one that matches that. Well, I go a little bit higher. Well, I got something a little bit higher. And we can spend all that time and energy. But what if we just redirect the energy. Now, I'm telling you, still believe in your party. Still believe in your candidate. If that is important to you, do it. Those things they represent are incredibly valuable on both sides of the aisle. But what if instead of us just hoping or voting or wishing that someone else is going to take care of the poor, that someone else is going to help reform healthcare, that someone else is going to go and notice young moms who are going to take care of education, who are going to help take care of the earth? What if instead we put the energy towards, let's be aware, let's vote, but what if you showed up at the hospital and volunteered? What if you walked down to the VA, you started shaking some hands from veterans, and you invite them over for a cup of coffee and heard their story? What if you signed up for a class on Native American studies and you got a little bit more information about their story and you heard things about the Trail of Tears? And you heard the horrible things that have happened to them. What if you signed up to coach baseball? What if you like even just sat at the lunch table in your kindergartner's like lunchroom and you began to see the faces of all the people in your community? What if you invited your neighbor over that you've just waved at? See, we can choose where we put our energy. And we can put it towards investing and creating beautiful things. Wisdom is crying out saying, there is life full of joy. Will you invest the best of yourself into that? It's so easy. It's so easy to get caught up with all the things that are happening politically right now. Regardless if your candidate won or didn't win, they're saying, yes, they're going to change everything. And they could make a difference. But it's easy to say they're going to do that, and then we could take a step back and say, okay, now go and do it. What if we could say, yes, go and do it, and we stepped even more and say, but we're going to do it here. You possess the power and the beauty. Why? Because you have a Jesus-looking God who makes himself radically available to you. He's deposited in you beautiful things, a beautiful energy to create a reality in your neighborhoods, in your school, in your small businesses, in Carlton County and beyond. Just think of how much power is in this room. And you get to decide how you give it. So this is where I end. Three tips. I usually end, I realize that I've gotten in the method of three tips. But here we go. Here's three tips. The first one, and usually they're all the same. That's okay, all right? At least I'm consistent. First one is this. You have to get clear. You have to get clear. Get clear of where you're at and where you want to be. I was just meeting with a friend recently who was going through some really hard things, and I kept pointing down my wall. I'm like, okay, yeah, what you're saying is you want to be here. He's like, yeah, that's where I want to be. I'm like, well, you're here. No, but I want to be here. Exactly. I'm a big fan of here. But where you're at is here. You have to get clear of where you're at with your health, with your finances, your marriage, your friendships, your mental health, whatever it is. We always want to live somewhere else. Get clear of where you're at. And once you can see where you're at, you can be friends with reality and say, oh, man, maybe my spending habits are unhealthy. Yeah, maybe the way I eat, you know, maybe I really can change. Get clear of where you're at and then dream of where you could be. I had a professor, and you probably heard this before, but if you aim for nothing, you hit it every time. Every time. You are 100% successful when you don't make any goals. When you have a lack of vision, a lack of clarity, you are the king of an unclear world, right? Get clear. And, like, celebrate incremental growth. Sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, and you're like, yeah, and you go, like, do 10 push-ups, and you get on the scale, and you're like, I put on 2 pounds. This is a waste of time, right? It's over. This is a horrible idea. Like, just settle down, right? Get clear. And the next thing is this, is what are you willing to try? What are you willing to try? We talked about this last week. But if you say, I want to get clear on having more friends, what are you willing to try? I'm just going to sit here and wait for someone to notice that I'm lonely. Now, honestly, oh man, I'm going to talk about this. Like, we are horrible at making friends. As adults, we are the worst at making friends. It seems like we want to wait for someone else to be our friend instead of willing to try, where can I go to meet friends? What conversations could I have? How could I like change my schedule, my rhythm, where I can actually meet people? But if you're unclear and you wait for someone else to do it, you're going to be spending your energy in ways that are just not life-giving. And the third one's this: don't let birds make a nest. We tell our kids, there's this devotional that we read, and one of our kids' favorite one is because there's a guy standing there, there's a big nest on his head. When you get clear, and you get really clear on what you're going to try, what you're going to change, of how you're going to like spend less time with this circle of friends, how you're not going to go to the bar like 5 nights out of the week. You're like, okay, I'm going to change the way I spend my money. Or I'm going to like quit my job and get my resume because I'm going to go after that dream I've always had since I was a 13-year-old girl. Right? As soon as you get clear of what you want and the changes you make, there's going to be pain. There's going to be people that come up to you and say, who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? No, this is what we've always done. This has always been our circle of friends since kindergarten, and this is how it works. And the devotional talks about you can be walking along and a bird can come down and land on your head, but you don't have to let it make a nest. You can't control what the bird does, but you can knock it away. And it's talking about you can't control the things that come in your head. There might be thoughts. You can't control what your friends are going to say. You can't control what your parents are going to tell you or not. But you get to decide if you're going to let those lies make a nest on your head and live there. You get to decide if you're going to let your friends dictate your future. You get to decide if you're going to let someone else and their expectations, their dreams, and their words like make a nest on your head and say, I guess I will never be able to be that. Why? Because they said I can't. And not only will you get pushback from other people, probably the loudest voice in the room is going to be your own head, right? You're saying, no, you're always going to be fat. You will always be a loser. You will never have a good relationship with your kids. You will never be financially secure. You will be in debt till the day you die. You ever heard that before? You get to decide if you're going to let that lie become a truth. Get clear. Decide, what am I going to do? And don't let those birds, don't let those lies make a nest. And how do you fight off those lies? You get clear on what the truth is. If I had a Bible, I'd hold it up right now, right? That God's word, wisdom, is calling out. It's crying out from the city gates, saying, will you take me in? Will you hear me? There's a lady in our church. Her name's Ashton. And I would like to celebrate her. Just off something, as I was actually writing this message, just popped up on Facebook. And she put on Facebook, she said, hey, on Wednesday night, I am free. At 6:30 at the warming house. And she tagged a couple of her friends and said, I'd love to have coffee. Will anyone want to join me? And I had like this aha moment of, there is a young mom, a woman, who got very, very clear of what she wants. Of what she wants better friends, she wants more relationships, she wants to laugh, she wants to enjoy a cup of coffee, because she has this window of time of where she doesn't have to wait at home and see everyone else on Facebook doing all these things. She said, why can't I will activate this. She got clear, and she was willing to try. And I right away, I put on there, like, I'm proud of you. And I was, like, in my office, like, fist pumping because it's so easy to put our energy into all the things we don't have. What would it look like this week for you to get clear on one life-giving thing that you want, that you're hungry for, that you want to experience or you want to accomplish? And you were able to invite people into that with you. So here's my encouragement. Dream. Dream. Are you ready for new friends? Are you ready for, like, to get healthy? Are you ready to grow? Why wait for tomorrow when you possess the power today? Let's stand and let's pray. My dream is that in, like, the next couple weeks, as we talk about wisdom, that we just don't laugh, that we just don't have a couple of jokes about big, important captains, right? Like, that we can actually hear stories. We can share stories with each other saying, yeah, I got wise. I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to stop giving my energy, the best of myself, to this, and I'm going to start investing my energy into that. So like we talked during announcements, we believe that prayer is more than just holy chatter. It's more than just churchy talk. We pray because we believe there's a good God who wants to do good things in us, not later, but even now. And as I'm praying, I'm going to encourage you to do maybe like an exercise, maybe to participate, maybe even just to receive. I'm going to ask God. We believe that God speaks to us. We call that his Holy Spirit. God's like tangible felt presence. It's why we say, Holy Spirit, will you come? We want God's presence to be here with us. And we believe that God speaks to us through his word, sometimes maybe through music, through worship, maybe through like a picture in your head, or maybe even you just get like these ideas. And what I'm going to pray is that we could get clear, not tomorrow when we possess the power today, we can get clear on maybe something that you are giving your energy to that you really know. It's just the heat's being pumped into a drafty house. You know the thing that you are investing in is just not life-giving. You just don't know how to stop. You don't know how to redirect that energy. What I'm going to invite you to do is to use a word that we don't like talking about at church. You don't get with a bunch of your friends and say, hey, you know what we should do tonight? Instead of playing cards or watching a movie, let's confess, right? It's true. It's not a very sexy word, right? Confess. But what if you can confess? Confess is just simply, I'm going to get clear. I'm going to see it for what it is and say, I confess that that's not life-giving. Because when you can see it for what it is and you can put the words behind it, you remove the power. You remove the power. Like, I confess that the way I am spending my money is not healthy. I confess that my family is like manipulating me and doing things I don't want to do. Then, as I'm going to continue to pray, I'd like you to then dream and ask God, okay, God, then where could my energy go towards? And allow your mind to wander. Allow God to possibly even speak to you and give you inspiration of what it might be. It might be something you're already aware of and touch of. You might be totally surprised. So, please join me as we pray. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Your presence, we ask that it would come close. And I thank you that you are wisdom, that you freely give it to us, that we don't have to just walk around with no sense like that young man in Proverbs, that our lives are not just some tragic accident set in motion by the cosmos, but there is purpose, there is beauty, and there is life. Like it said, like that woman is on every corner inviting us into death, inviting us to compromise, inviting us to give up on our dreams. I ask you even now, Holy Spirit, will you show us where is our energy going? Where are we pumping heat? Where it's just not holding it. It's actually doing the exact opposite. It's draining of us. I even feel like for some of you, you feel like it's not just draining me, it's killing me. That addiction is spiraling out of control. That lie, that thinking pattern I have, it's killing me. And so I pray for my friends who are there, Holy Spirit, come and set them free. We break off the power of those lies, break off the power of those memories, break off the power of those substances, of those habits. Will you come? And I ask Jesus, now will you help us be able to redirect that energy, help us dream of what we can give ourselves to. I pray for resumes. I pray for friends. I pray for an even more beautiful marriage. I pray for hobbies. I pray for health. Come. And I ask Jesus that you would help us as we get clear on that. Give us practical ways we could take one more step. One more step towards that good and beautiful life. So God, I pray blessings and power and beauty on these dreams. And we love you. Amen. All right, so we're going to worship for a little bit. And I'm going to invite our ministry team to come up to the front. And these are people, again, who are for you and want to let God do good things. And here's what I'm going to invite you to. If you're here and you feel like you got clear on something, I'm the king of this. I get clear on something, I'm like, I'm going to do that, and then I hold it in because I'm sometimes afraid. If I actually say it out loud to like my wife, I say it out loud to my friend, I say it out loud to like one of my mentors, then I actually have to do it, right? And I'd rather live in the place of, maybe. So if you got clear, here's what I encourage you. Come on up and allow one of these people to pray with you and say, hey, I want to stop doing this, and I want to start doing this. And they're not going to like say, well, I think you should try this instead, right? They're not your counselors, right? They're not your therapists. They're just people. They are people who are for you and want beautiful things to you. And they'll pray a short, simple prayer asking God to bless that. If there's anything else in your life that you'd like prayer for, they would love to pray for you. Stay as long as you want. Thank you for coming to Cloquet Vineyard, and have a great rest of your weekend.